I think we can fairly say that the Gibson brothers are a legend, I think, at this point. They're certainly well on their way to becoming one, if not considered already. One of the most widely acclaimed, recognized bands, I think, in recent memory in bluegrass. Their last album, Brotherhood, if you recall, we had Eric Gibson on to talk about Brotherhood. They wanted to go back and recreate or lend their special talents to all these brother duets over time. It's a wonderful album. The most recent album they've done, In the Ground, is something that they decided, you know, they always wrote a lot of their own songs. They did an entire album of songs from the band. And we're going to talk to Eric Gibson in the second hour about the most recent album from the Gibson brothers, In the Ground. Stay tuned for Eric Gibson in the second hour. You're going to enjoy the, I promise. Really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers. How are you doing, Eric?
Doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to speak with us about the brand new album from the Gibson Brothers, In the Ground, which is on Rounder Records. The release date was what again, Eric?
February 19th, I think it was.
Okay, all right. So it's been out. It's been out a month or so, and I've given it a good listen. Here's how I'd like to start off. First of all, I recognize, and we'll talk about the fact that almost all of these tunes are written by either you or Eric or a combination, or Kelly's in there once, and Sean Camp, but they're more self-generated than before, and we compare that to Brotherhood, which was something that you had a definite purpose on the last album of doing all these, covering all these brother duets, I guess. And you have also have a very definite theme, I think, to this album also, not just the fact that it was all self-generated, but I think the theme that I hear in the ground is not uncommon for the Gibson brothers. You have family, you have home, you have farm life, you have traveling, you have friendship, you have music. I think you had a definite approach. Tell me what you were thinking when you put In the Ground. That's just my impression from what I hear from the music.
Well, I think you're spot on, and thank you for paying attention.
Yeah, well,
but you know, our last record, Brotherhood, was fun to make, and I'm glad we did it. But you know, we have people come up to the other guys in the band, you know, don't have the last name of Gibson, and say, "Yeah, I like it, but I want to hear the boys' songs, meaning Eric and Lee's songs."
Sure.
And they wouldn't come up and say it to later me, but they would say it to the guys in the band, and they'd start getting back to us and say, "What do you want to do next?" I said, "Let's write the whole dang thing. Let's write the whole next record," and that's what we did. And you know, if there's a loose theme, you know, there's that farm, never very far away from us. We grew up on a dairy farm, and it was in our family in the 1860s until 2000. And Lee and I were in it. We were the last generation. You know, we didn't end up. Dad didn't want us to continue. And there's always been that kind of a nagging feeling that maybe we should have, or I wish things would have been different, so that maybe we've been compelled to keep doing it because. I mean, I still wake up in the night, Steve, and I'm there lots of times. I'm still on the farm, and I'm sure Lee's the same way. I mean, and not every song on the record has to do with the farm.
No.
It keeps popping up, you know, like In the Ground and Remember Who You Are, and several of the songs mention of that. You're right.
Eric, you talked about you weren't going to continue on the farm. Was that a deliberate choice of your parents or yours or what?
It was deliberate on my dad's part. You know, because I thought that's what I would do as a little kid. And I've told this story before, I don't think of you, about, you know, being given an assignment in second grade, go home and draw a picture of what you want to be when you grow up. And I sat at the kitchen table with crayons making, you know, pictures of tractors and cows and barns and things like that. And Dad came home and said, "What are you doing?" And I told him. And so he worked me really hard, made me work harder than a second grader should work. And after, you know, that time had passed, I said, "Well, I want to be a baseball player." I had worked hard enough that I did not want to be a farmer. And, but you know,
what was his reason for? Did he see that the family kind of farm that you grew up on and that he had taken from, I guess, his not really taken, but you know, inherited? Did he see it coming to an end, or did he? Just,
yeah, oh, okay. He did. He saw that. No matter how hard he worked, he couldn't make the gains that he thought he should, given that, you know, And I guess that's a good lesson about just about anything. I mean, you can work your as hard as you want in music, and it doesn't always go your way. Not just farming, but so many of the cards are stacked against the farmers. You know, when Dad sold the farm in 2000, he's getting the same amount for his milk as he was in 1981.
Oh, my.
And everything else had gone through the roof. My dad did a great job just staying afloat in that climate. But he didn't. He saw that we'd have to either go really big, you know, and he said, I don't know how those farmers would go that big to sleep at night with that debt, like they needed debt.
Yeah.
He just did everything he could to dissuade us from doing it. And, you know, I'm glad I'm not tied to it anymore. I mean, it's a hard life, but there's certain aspects of it that I'll always miss.
Well, it comes through in your music all the time. I think of the upbringing on the farm, the values that you learn there, the family values that you have, sort of the religious. You'll have, like on this album, you have a tune about finding a church. I think all those things come from that same. You're informed. All of your music, I think, is informed whether you write it or just perform it. You certainly get that feel from it, but this, I think this album, In the Ground, is, I think, I hate to use this maturation because it's not like you guys just started doing this, but I think this is a really great example of where you've been and where you've come to as songwriters and performers.
Thank you. Thanks. I kind of see it that way. You know, it is where we are right now and where we've been. But at the same time, I want to stress, you know, we don't see ourselves as a nostalgia act.
No. I don't mean that at all.
I worry that there's that perception. But I see us as having a foot in the future, too. I think, you know, there are a lot of bands right now writing their own material, and I think that's a good thing. You know, I look at the String Dusters and the Steep Canyon Rangers. You know, there are quite a few bands that are coming along writing their own stuff, and I think Blue Highway has always done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good thing.
It is, and I think I'm not a songwriter. I mean, I play a little bit of banjo, but I think it's a progression that if you keep doing this long enough, you're going to start finding your life coming out of music and lyrics, and you're going to wind up with an album like In the Ground, where you've basically produced all of these things from your experience. I think it's a natural progression, maybe not always, but I think it's a nice progression to make, let's put it that way.
Thank you. I feel real good about it. The early response has been strong, and it's fun. You know, these songs are very fun to play on stage too. You know, especially some of the up-tempo ones are fun.
Well, we'll talk about some of the songs since I'm talking to Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers, and we want to focus on this new album, In the Ground, which is on Rounder Records. You're talking about fun songs. Highway, the very first song, is kind of a fun song to listen to. It's got a nice pace to it. And again, there are travels in this album. Some of them are clearly a metaphor for being on the road. Some are just travels in life. But I mean, on Highway, for example, that's one that you have written. You want to talk a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, you know, I started that one probably 17 years ago or so, around 2000, and we actually around that time, me and I went to a country record in Nashville with Ricky Skaggs, and it has never come out. But we were kind of we were off the road at that time, and in making the country record, we knew, you know, if the record came out, we'd end up having a banner, and I played some Telecaster on some stuff, and we put together a little band, and we played some material that wasn't necessarily bluegrass, and we never cut Highway, but we had that song with just two verses and a chorus, and it was so fun to play live, but I never thought it would make its way on the bluegrass record, and Lee kept saying, we should do it bluegrass. I said, oh, I don't know if it'll work, and plus I need to write another verse. And every record that would come along, Lee would say, what about Highway? I said, I need to write another verse. So finally, for this record, we played it as we got ready to go in the studio, like a few weeks before that, and we were showing the guys some songs, and Lee said, show them Highway, and we played, and we were laughing when we got done. It was so much fun, and it was obvious it would work. And Lee said, well, you send me that song, and I'll write a third verse. I never sent him the song. I just finally wrote a third verse out of 17 years. He said, you son of a gun, I know how to get something out of you. You didn't want to share.
Oh.
I just knew I needed to put it together, you know. But it is a fun song. Maybe it is a little autobiographical. You know, I remember it's about a guy up on the in the mountains, you know, seeing the highway down below and wishing he could go, you know, like his dad did.
Yeah.
And my dad never left home, but I Maybe it's that little boy wanting to get off the farm, which I definitely did want to do.
Well, you did, especially after the second grade.
Yeah, exactly.
The homemade wine, I know this has to be something that Lee just read about, because this could have never really happened to him, correct?
He's not much of a drinker at all. He's pretty near a teetotaler, you know? But he's so funny. He's got a neighbor who gives him wine every year, and Lee says, I never drink it. He said, I always tell him it's good, but I never drink it. He said, I know they don't make wine like this anymore, but I keep picturing his feet.
Oh, jeez. Lucy, you're talking Lucille Ball stomping on the grapes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I just can't do it. I can't do it. But by gosh, talk about, you know, when you make a record, you first of all, you hope anything's going to go over. But lots of times, a song will surprise you about the response, and that thing's getting a lot of airplay. And we're getting a lot of requests for it out on the road. So I guess Gibson Brothers never had a drinking song before. So this is the first
one. Now you do.
First now one. Do. Now I we like do. It. Maybe it'll be the only one.
Remember who you both contributed to, and that's the full concept is remember who you are when you get somewhere. And that I think is a life lesson, certainly from your upbringing.
Well, my dad said that to me. And he probably said it to Lee before, too, but when I left the college, he said those exact words, remember who you are. And it always stuck with me, and I never thought to put it into a song. And it's such a good line, it's probably been written before, I don't know. But we were backstage at a show a couple of years ago in North Carolina, and I just got the guitar out, and that melody started coming, and I had the hook. And Lee popped in the dressing room and said, what are you doing? I said, dude, help me write this. And we wrote it right there, Steve, between sound check and showtime, we wrote that song.
And
I love it. I really do. It's one of those that just came together so quickly, and I think we made a little bit of a different chorus that we ended up changing, but probably 85% of the song just as it was written that day.
It works. I mean, because it's a good lesson, I think, you know, take stock of where you're going and remember where you came from, I think is really and people can listen to the song and make their own judgments. So that's what I get from them is always remember your upbringing, I think is what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, don't let it change the good things about you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what Dad was saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And you guys capture it well. Making good time is one of those lines that if you've ever been in the back of a car driven by your dad, I never really knew what it meant. I don't really know what it means. Good time is what? I mean, you're moving at whatever speed you're moving, but that's another song kind of on the road. I like this. I like the it's just an upbeat kind of a making good time.
I stole that from Yogi Berra, the great baseball player, because he was lost. He was driving. And his wife said, Yogi, we're lost. And he said, I know, but we're making good time.
That's good.
So I just kind of mess with it a little bit. I mean, we don't know where we're going, but we sure are making good time. And I tried to make it as a relationship. But I could, you know, I think Ken Irwin from Rounder thought we were talking about our career.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I guess you could
step back. And Ken's got that big picture mind anyway. Maybe he could step back.
He's analytical, you know.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Speaking of analytical, my quiet mind. That Lee, I guess it was Sean Camp assisted writing that one, but
yeah,
that's kind of a deep song.
I was supposed to be involved in that, and I set up that writing session because he's not the easiest. Everybody wants to write with Sean Camp. He's great, and we've written a song with him before that has turned out to be one of our more popular songs. Something Coming to Me, and so I set up that session, and then I got sick. And that's the last. That's 2 years ago. That's the last time I was sick. But I couldn't get in there. And Lee came back and peeked his head into my door, into my room after he'd written that song. You want to hear it? And I was so sick, but I still said, "Yeah, I'll hear it." And as sick as I was, I knew he had something. You know, I knew they'd done some good work that day. But it's just a beautiful. I think we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
You know that at 3 o'clock in the morning. Every thought hitting you, you know, hitting you so hard, and you know, just you give anything for your mind just to slow down and be quiet, and I think that's what he's talking. Lee and Sean were getting at with that song.
I think on this album, In the Ground, I think it's a good. You're going to record more. You've recorded some, but I think it's a good view at the way the Gibson brothers approach music. I may have said this earlier in a different way, but that song combined with Homemade Wine and combined with I Found the Church Today, combined with all those different elements, you cover so many different elements of life, which I ultimately think, hey, what it has to be your life and Lee's life. On one album, you bring all those things together, and you really share, I think, a very personal message to the audience, and people are going to listen to In the Ground and See You Live. I think that song combined with Homemade Wine, all these things, all these elements on one album, really gives a full picture of what you're trying to express.
Thank you. I mean, I keep hearing that. You know, I keep hearing, maybe not expressed as eloquently as that, but, you know, people keep calling it a personal or intimate album, and I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's life, you know, and sometimes you write these things and you think, well, nobody's going to get it. It's too personal. It's too unique unto me or whatever. But it's not, you know, it's not. It might just be one line of the song that hits somebody. That,
yeah.
And we try not to be too specific sometimes in our writings, so that people can put themselves, they can insert themselves into the song.
Well, I think it works. There's so many songs on here that we could go in depth about. I'm not skipping any on purpose, but when I look down the page and I found a church today, I think that's a very personal thing. And I would be willing to bet you that sometime on the road, maybe you've actually found a church to visit. I don't know.
Well, it was on, actually, I had found a church locally, and there was just a good feeling there, you know. I was on the road, I was on an airplane after having attended the church, and those feelings just started coming out, however high up in the sky we were. And around that time, Lee joined the church down near where he lives, and his family, he and his wife became members of this church, and the kids were going every weekend, and it just became, you know, we grew up that way.
I know.
For whatever reason, sometimes you get away, you know, it's always calling to you, you know, and I had written those verses, and I didn't have a chorus, when we landed, Lee loved what I had, and he said, let me take that, and he went to his room and came out with the chorus. I said, there it is, we got it.
As a songwriter, Eric, let's talk to the Eric Gibson, the songwriter. As a songwriter, are you ever surprised that you said one song was 17 years in the making, Highway, and are you ever surprised at how the length, some songs you've mentioned, another one that kind of came together backstage, some take a long time, some seem to fall together naturally. I mean, is that ever, it has to kind of like intrigue you as a songwriter. Where do these things come from?
It does. And I don't put pressure on myself to, maybe I should, but I don't, like, I have another song that I've had for quite a while that just needs some work, and I still haven't figured out how to bring it home, and it's going to be good if I ever do, you know. And I don't feel the pressure that, to me, if I push myself to do it too hard, then it's going to be contrived, and I just want it to be right.
Yeah.
And I don't question it, and I think there's nothing wrong with a song coming together quickly. I wish they all would. And the other end of the spectrum, what's wrong with letting it, you know, letting it germinate for 17 years?
Yeah, it takes some time.
I'm glad I did. Highway turned out great.
It is a great song. Well, here and now you've got on this same album of In the Ground, Everywhere I Go, you've got Lee and you and Kelly Gibson.
That's
Let's talk about that a little bit, yeah.
Kelly is my 21-year-old son, and he just loves music. He loves it, and when he sings, I mean, I'm biased, you know, because he's my kid, but it clenches my heart to hear him sing. You know, he just has a lot of soul in his voice, and he feels it when he's singing it. And he's starting to write a little bit, and he's written a few nice things on his own, and we've written a couple together, and I'm trying to attack songwriting all the time. He loves singer-songwriters, and we listen to singer-songwriters, and we talk about, wow, this song's so cool because of this, or don't you like the way this line came together? And he's just trying to put it together. And he had a melody and some good lines and couldn't get anywhere with it, but I couldn't get the melody out of my head. And I was just messing around at our heat, and Lee was with me, and I was just messing around with that melody and humming it and playing the guitar. And he said, what is that? And I said, something Kelly's writing. Really? He says, is he almost done? I said, no, it's just, you know, he has a melody and he's got a few lines, but he doesn't know where to go with it. He goes, do you think he'd let us work on it? I said, well, I'll ask him. So I came home and I said, Kelly, and I said, do you care if we take a whack at that song? He goes, no, it's mine.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
And my youngest son, he's 17, goes, Kelly, he said, if they ever cut that song, your name would be on the record.
Yeah, man.
And if it ever got any airplay, you might make a few dollars. And Kelly said, well, okay, you can work on it. And I kind of wish we would have sat down, the three of us, and just written it nose to nose, you know, with the guitars out. But there's hard, Lee lives 3 hours away, and Lee and I just ended up finishing on the road together.
Okay.
And he was happy. He's got a cut.
He's there, man. He's a published author.
21
now.
Years old. He's got a cut on a Rounder record. It took me a long time to get a cut.
I love that story. I wanted to let you crow about that a little bit. A friend of mine, you know, it's funny you mentioned about being a songwriter, although a friend of mine is credited to Lee. To me, as a musician, I immediately think that he's talking about an instrument, although he doesn't say he's talking about an instrument in the song. It could be a friend. It could be a friend who always has encouraging words, but friend of me could be any kind of a friend, a friend of mine, rather. It's someone that is always there for you. I immediately felt, and I listen to music before I read any of the liner notes or anything, I immediately felt, you know, if it's me, I'm picking up a banjo that I travel with, but it doesn't necessarily say that.
He started out writing about his guitar. That's how it started.
Yeah.
He was writing about his guitar, and they got thinking, well, everybody writes about their guitar. And we're riding down the road in one of our long trips, you know, and it was just three North Country guys, because Clayton and Jesse, they live in Nashville and Bowling Green, respectively, and they'd gone back their way, and we were heading home from wherever we were. And Lee said he took a look at Mike Barber, our bass player who's been with us for 24 years, and he was driving. I think it's about Mike.
It could be whatever. You mentioned this earlier about not trying to limit it so that everybody can see what they want. Now, I immediately heard it as an instrument, but I can easily see it as being, like you said,
He said it started out as an instrument, we no longer make the picture that we used to be. We've all been playing together for 24 years.
Yeah.
Me, Mike, and me, and but he's also had that particular guitar for a long time. Yeah. So,
we talked a little bit about, I may have skipped a song or two, but we're getting a good feel for the In the Ground album from the Gibson Brothers. The very last cut, In the Ground, happens to be the title cut, and it's the 13th cut and final cut, and it is symbolic of. Will you talk about that for a minute? I think it's a very, very personal song for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Lee, I don't even know how Lee sings that song. Particularly the last verse is, it's about our dad.
Oh, no, sure.
I watch my hero go home, you know, and I cry over his bones in the ground. You know, it's just after talking about farming, you know, everything coming from the ground and ending the song that way. I got goosebumps first time I heard it.
It's very powerful. It's not only not that that's not enough about losing your father, but it's also about losing the farm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think more than losing the farm, which we never really lost the farm, sold the farm.
Well, I understand, but I mean the work.
But we lost that way of life.
Right, that's right.
And there's no getting it back.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so I'm not complaining. We have a good life, but there's it's just
you have a longing. You have certainly have a longing for that.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't shake it.
Yeah.
And Lee can't either. And
it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song.
Thanks.
It's very touching. And let's talk about the current makeup of the band again. You mentioned a little bit. I always like to get that, and then I want to talk about where you're going to be.
Yeah, well, Mike Barber has been with us for 24 years playing the bass, and Clayton Campbell has been with us for over 12 years on the fiddle, and Jesse Brock on the mandolin now for, I think he's been with us for 4 years, heading into his 14th.
Seems like yesterday. I mean, he's such a great player. I've always enjoyed Jesse's playing.
Oh, yeah. He's
wherever you want to go, Jesse can go there.
Yeah, he's a chameleon on that instrument. You know, he's very inventive, and all the guys just really serve the song. I mean, maybe that's a cliche, but they surely do. You know, and and make it fun to sing. They know how to back a vocal. They know how to get in and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's their time to shine, they can do that.
They shine, yeah.
And when we want to release the hounds, they can surely
release
can surely
the hounds.
Run.
That's a song for the next album. Release the hounds.
Yeah.
Listen, and I'm sure you have a website that I bet if someone looked for Gibson Brothers, they could find out where you're going to be and how to get a hold of in
oh,
the
I
ground.
I wish they would. GibsonBrothers.com.
Yeah, easy enough. Easy enough.
Yeah.
Well, I see you guys at Grey Fox. I'm going back this year.
Yeah.
To whatever it is they ask me to do. They have me come up and find things for me to do, but you'll be back at Grey Fox, I think.
Isn't that a wonderful festival?
Boy, I just love being there. When I get there, you talk about quiet mind. When I get there, there's nobody there because I get there early to set up where I'm going to be. But even when there's people there, I still have this quiet mind because it just feels so peaceful to me. It's run like a big family event.
They do a great job.
Yeah, they
really do. And I'm proud that it's in our home state.
I am too. I am too. I'm glad for you, which means you always find time to come down and get on the main stage.
I hope so. I hope that you've having us. We always enjoy it.
Yeah. Eric Gibson, man, thanks so much for taking time out to visit with us here on Unreal Bluegrass. I always enjoy it, and we could talk for a much, much longer time, but, you know, we all have lives to live, and I need to let you get back to what you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Right.
It was great to talk to you.
All right, Eric, I'll catch up to you later, man. Thanks.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, bye.